Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon and welcome to Winning Business Radio, where we connect you with business owners who are winning at business. I am your host, Lisa Rehurick, the number one leading authority on winning RFP responses and passionate about helping small businesses win at business. So I'm crazy excited about our guest today. This is our last show of the year, and I am happy to announce or to bring on Danny Creed. And one of the things I love the most about Danny Creed is his name. I can't seem to call him just Danny because he's got the coolest name, right? I got to call him Danny Creed. But Danny Creed is a real world business coach and award-winning master business coach. And that's really important. We're going to talk about that a little bit, about what that means to be an actual business coach with as much power and kind of training behind him, because there's a lot of people out there that call themselves coaches, but he's the real deal. He's an entrepreneur and also a best-selling author, and he has logged over 14,000 business coaching and consulting hours, and of course, that's growing. So he's done 14 successful startup businesses and over 400 turnarounds, business turnarounds. That's crazy. So, he's also the six-time recipient of the Focal Point International Brian Tracy Award of Sales Excellence. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you Master Business Coach Danny Creed.
Thank you, Lisa. Welcome. Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays. Yeah. I'm excited. And Danny's got a background in radio too, so yeah. We're going to, like, he's going to kind of show us up a little bit here with his radio expertise.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun, yeah. And Danny Creed's actually my business coach as well. I hired him about a couple of months ago because he really has such an amazing background. And for anybody, no matter where you are, I think, in business, whether you're just getting ready to get started, which is what we're going to talk a lot about today, or for me, where I'm really trying to grow and take my business to the next level, he's got all of that experience. So he is a wealth of knowledge. So you want to pay close attention, take lots of notes. So I want to kick it off, actually, before we get into these fundamentals and the foundational elements of entrepreneurship, just talking about you being this master business coach. And what does that mean for the people out there that say, hey, I need a business coach, I'm an entrepreneur, but there's 80 million business coaches on every street corner. Talk to me a little bit about you and why you versus everybody else and how somebody picks the right kind of coach.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I'm very passionate about this subject.
Yes.
all you have to do is ask me. But, you know, one of the big issues with this industry is anybody and their cousin can call themselves a coach.
Yeah.
And so what we have is many people get hurt by that.
Yes.
Because whether you're a life coach or a business coach, you know, the big issue is a lot of people who call themselves a business coach have never owned a business.
Right.
Or they had one that failed and said, well, I can't make it as a business person, so I'm going to go coach somebody.
Right.
And it just drives me nuts.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's just not the same. If you want to hire a coach, first question you have to ask is, what kind of coach do you want?
So business coach isn't good enough, right?
Well, I collect the titles, by the way. I found 47 different ways you can call yourself a coach. I found one the other day. A guy called himself the executive happiness coach.
Oh.
And I'm going, what does that mean? So the problem that I have is that people will hire somebody that they have a real deep need, a personal need, a business need. I just met with a executive of a very large business, a $60 million business, before I came here. And that was what he said. He said he's met with a lot of people, and he starts talking to them about his needs. And they go, well, you know, I've never really dealt with that before, but, you know, I can give it a try.
Yeah, hire me.
You know, I actually, if you don't mind, I've told you this, but I had a dream one time. And I dreamt that I was having heart surgery, and I was on the table. And a nurse comes by and goes, Dan, looks down on me and says, Dan, would you like to meet your surgeon? And I go, well, absolutely. And he comes over and looks down at me. And he goes, hi, Dan, you ready for me to hold your heart in my hand? And I said, you can't do my surgery. And he goes, why not? And I go, because you're my veterinary. And he goes, yeah, but I'm a doctor.
Yeah, great analogy.
So when you think then about coaching or anything else, why would you go to a exercise coach if you want to grow your business. You know,
yeah.
The thing is, you've got to ask some questions. And again, you've got, what are their qualities? I don't argue with anybody anymore, and I don't ever say anything bad about other people who call themselves a coach. But people have to ask questions like, what's your background? Have you ever ran a business? Tell me about your greatest failure. Tell me about your greatest success. What's your number one trait that you do every day? Tell me about your grind. Your grind being, what do you do every day, whether you want to do it or not, that you know you have to do, so you do it.
It's a great question, actually. Yeah.
You know, what is your grind? How many hours were you required of study to become a coach? How many hours do you dedicate yourself to maintaining a high quality of knowledge? I personally try to do over 200 hours a year on just personal growth.
And I guarantee you that like 80% of the coaches out there can't answer either of those questions because they're not going off of any sort of a framework.
No.
They're just saying, I can coach you. And to your point about asking questions, you know, it's not, you can't even just find just a business coach because there's 80 million types of business coaches. So entrepreneurs, if you're needing a coach, you've got to ask some of these questions and you have to be clear. Like, don't they have to be clear about really what their objective is?
Absolutely. People have to be very, and I'll ask that. In fact, I'll give away a couple of my secrets here absolutely free because no one will apply it. You
right.
know? But I, you know, and that's just a fact of trainers.
Yes.
I went up to the guy who created the IBM sales training course and he was telling the secrets of it. And I said, Charlie, how could you do this? And he goes, well, maybe one out of 2,000 here will even do anything that I say. So I'll give away my secrets. But one of the things I will say is, look, I would like to talk to you. I want to interview you. While you're interviewing me, I'm going to be interviewing you.
Yes.
Okay. So while I'm interviewing you, understand this, that I want to see if there's a fit because I'm not right for everyone.
Yep.
So what I want to find out is if your needs, notice I didn't say problems, if your needs match what I can deliver, then we should do business. And if they don't, nice to know you.
Yeah. And that's a really great point, right? That we think that every coach is going to want to work with us as a business owner. I'm going to go talk to a coach. Of course, they want to work with me because I'm going to pay them. But that's not true. If you find a good coach, they're going to be interviewing you right back to make sure it's mutually the right fit.
And if the relationship, if it doesn't feel right to everyone listening out there, if it doesn't feel right, fire them.
Right.
You know what my guarantee is? And I've told you this, my guarantee is that you can fire me at any time.
Yes.
My goal is to work with you for 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
But you can fire me anytime. I want to become your trusted advisor. I want to be this ghost CEO for you. I want to be there on a long-term basis. But if it's not working, fire me.
Yeah.
Just do it though. You know?
Just do it.
But a lot of people will go, I talked to a guy the other day that interviewed me and I interviewed him and I said, so tell me about your relationship so far with the people you've worked with. And they go, well, it hasn't worked for a long time. I said, so when'd you fire the client? And he goes, well, the coach. And he goes, well, I haven't yet. And I go, well, why not? Well, you know, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. And is it doing you any good? Well, not really. And I go, stop.
Yeah.
Stop right now. Because the relationship should be, you know, I define myself as, I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a trainer. And the different business and life coaching. Life coaching is a lot of it. And there's some very high level good people there. But it's a lot of answering questions with questions. And that's just the way that process works.
Right.
Mine is different. I believe I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a trainer. I'll also be the first one to hug you and celebrate wins. And I'm going to be the first one to kick your butt around the block and hold you accountable for things. You know, but that's the way it works. If you're hiring somebody to be a yes man,
no way.
You're making a mistake. And if the coach accepts it, shame on them.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I agree. Because, you know, it's money. You got to go out and work your patootie off to get that money to pay for a coach. If you've got a good coach, they're not going to be necessarily inexpensive, right? So, heck yeah, you want to make sure that you're getting that mileage.
It's like any other investment.
Yes.
You know, and again, I know you know this. I hold myself to the same confidentiality levels as a doctor, a lawyer, anything like that. And that's my mentality.
Right.
But again, let me go back to the medical scenarios, you know, analogies. If you knew you had to have a heart surgery and you said, so doc, what do you think? You know, is going to take care of it? And which doctor would you want? The one who get, well, you know, this is going to be my second or third one. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
No, I want like the guy run. Who says, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what mindset. I had a triple bypass 2 years ago and almost died. And I asked my doctor that at that point, my surgeon, and he's a very well-renowned cardiothoracic surgeon. And I asked him that, and he goes, shut up. I'll see you in 6 hours. That's my guy. But that's the kind of thing a coach should be, leader should be, somebody that's trusting, that's a great listener,
yes,
but is not afraid to say,
yeah, pull your head out of your ass.
Sucks. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's the way it should be. And I think before you invest, you need to take time. I mean, again, do you go to a veterinary because he's a doctor, or do you go to a cardiothoracic surgeon?
Right.
It's the same thing with coaching and that. For the, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, but there's just billions of dollars wasted by people who don't do their due diligence.
Yeah.
So part of what I do is I just want to believe, and I'm going to try to give you the best experience. I'm going to be a great listener, but I'm going to understand your needs from your point of view, not my point of view.
Right, right.
And then we'll solve them from that point out. And the successes have been incredible, because a good business coach won't do it for you. If you want somebody to do it for you, hire a consultant.
Right.
But a good business coach will help you make better decisions. It's biblical.
Yeah.
You know, I can fish for you, or I can teach you how to fish.
Yes.
And that's what I try to do, and a good coach will do.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, right? It's your business. It's your business. You're responsible for getting it done.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we hire somebody to help us and advise with us and teach us and train us things that we don't know and that have been there before us. So
yes.
I love it.
You've got, if you don't mind me, you've got a great instinct, Lisa. I mean, you.
Oh, thank
but
you.
When we talk, you know, here's an idea. Here's something else. That stinks. Consider this.
Right.
It's not do this or do that, or I'm not, it's not an argument.
No, not at all. No.
And if you have that kind of relationship with a coach, split, divorce.
Yes.
You know, don't put yourself, you don't need that, because the whole idea is personal and professional growth. So here's what I believe. You know, if you hold up your right hand, you hold up your left hand, and the right hand is business and the left hand is life. Everybody's trying to say work-life balance, work-life. Well, that sucks. That's not true.
It's now, not true at all.
Take your hands and now put them together and intertwine your fingers, and that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Most people spend more time at work than they do at home. So instead of trying to separate them, figure out how to intertwine them and make them work together, so that if you spend 80 hours at work, you're okay with it, because you know you've got compensation for life.
Great point. Great
point. See, so just, it's all runs together.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure that out, and a good coach will help you do that.
Yes, I agree. And I also agree for all of you business owners listening out there that we just can't do this alone, right? We can't do it alone. And I am a huge believer in having a coach at all times if you can, just, you know.
And Lisa, let me put an exclamation point to what you just said.
Yeah.
That there is a reason, and this is kind of a cheap segue to what I want to talk about today, but there's a reason why 92% of all businesses started today will be broken 2 years.
Yes. That's
there's
so
a reason.
Sad. I hate that statistic.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
And it used to be 88%. Somebody said the other
day. Yeah, it used to be 80%.
Well, that's a lot higher than I ever thought. I'd go, well, when did you hear? Well, 88%.
Yeah. It keeps going up.
88% or 92. What makes a difference?
So what is the reason?
Well, here's what I believe. Here's my take from it. I had the privilege of, in my life, to be taken in by some guys that are pretty famous that changed the world. Brian Tracy is one of them. Brian being maybe the number one business and personal development thought leader in history.
Yes.
He's written 85 books and the top two CD series in history on business.
Wow.
Just, he's an incredible guy. And I've known him since 1979.
Wow.
You know, and Zig Ziglar, who everybody knew. I knew Zig, and a lot of other people. I was acquainted with Dr. Dennis Whately and a lot of different people out there. And one of the things that they always taught that just isn't taught anymore, and they're not taught enough, is that they used to say, you know, Zig used to say that that the similarities between a 40-story skyscraper and a 3-bedroom house is that if they don't have a solid foundation, they'll both fall over.
Yep.
You know, and what happens when people fail in that start a business is that they usually are great technicians at what they do, but they stink as a business person.
Yes.
They know how to be a good plumber, but they don't know anything. And the guy I was talking to today runs a large bank, and he said the same thing. He said, he worked with doctors for a long time. He goes, we have doctors that are highly clinical guys, you know, but yet they absolutely smell the place up when it comes to being a good business person, but they're great technicians. But here's the deal, professional services in particular, I work with a very large dental practice. And I asked him one day, I said, how many years did you end up going to school? And he goes, well, you know, with apprenticeship and all this stuff, 13 years, 13, 14 years. I go, okay. So through all this education and training, how many business courses were you required to take? He goes, one. I said, when was it? He said, Friday afternoons at 3:00.
Oh.
And I said, did you go to any of the classes, tongue in cheek? And he goes, I didn't go to one. And I still became a dentist.
Yeah.
So when you talk about lawyers and real estate, people, financial planners, doctors, chiropractors, dentists, in those professional services, most of them are very, very good technicians.
Yes.
But they've never been required to be a good business person. You see, you know, certain industries like dental, it's being commoditized today.
So much so.
Because people will leave dental school and they'll build their Taj Mahal office and then it goes broke because they don't understand I'm not a salesman,
right?
You know, I'm not, but you know, they just don't understand. You need some help.
Yeah,
you need a practice manager. You need, once you don't know, you either have to learn or get somebody to come in. So it's those foundational things, you know, it's the foundational issues that they don't know. So you know, I'd like to, if I could, share part of them. The old masters used to say that, again, that foundational recipe.
Yep.
And that recipe is about 13 things.
Okay.
And that foundational recipe applies to any type of business. Any type of business.
Any type. Doesn't matter if product, service, any of that.
Brian Tracy recently told me that it didn't matter where in the world it was.
Mm.
And he still travels, used to anyway, 300 days a year. But Europe, Asia, China, you know. And he said, it doesn't matter where in the world you're at. It doesn't matter what the economic conditions are. That you have to, there's a great scene in a movie that some of your listeners may know is called Major League.
Yep.
And there's a scene at the end where Charlie Sheen is Wild Thing and he's getting ready to pitch and the big guy for the Yankees is a bat and, you know, and everybody's singing, it's going crazy. And the old coach gets up on the edge of the set and goes, you know, forget the fancy stuff, Ricky, give him the heater. To me, what that means is in business is you can't do anything fancy. You can't chase any fads. If you go to bookstores today, if you can find a bookstore, you go to bookstores today, you go in the business and personal development section, most of it is somebody's fad that
it
they
is
come
all,
up with.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
You can't do anything new. You can't do any fads until you have the basic foundation down.
Yeah, it's so true. And I want to just interject real quick. My dad had the best quote. We're in the middle of remodeling our house, right? And he had the best quote that goes right hand in hand with this, which is, if the foundation is crap, it follows you to the roof.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't quote me on that because it's an industry, you know,
you
whatever. But like, yeah. So it wasn't my dad's quote somewhere, some way, but it's true, right?
If
your
we
foundation,
won't tell
we won't tell anybody. If your foundation is crap, it follows you to the roof.
That's right.
And that's exactly what you're saying.
And most people try to do the opposite.
Yes. Because you get excited, bells
I'll
and whistles.
Say, well, did you do this and this? Well, no, but you know, I read this book, and you know, I'm now doing this over here. Oh my God! Everybody says it's, you know, it's like multi-level marketing. It's a great industry if it's right for you. But how many people go from this? Well, I didn't become a millionaire, so I'm going to go do this one now.
Exactly.
And on and on and on. It's the same in business, and that's why people go broke.
Yeah.
Is that they don't take care of their foundation. I work with bootstrap startups, and I work with this year I worked with a $32 billion business. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, the first thing I do, and I warn them. That's why I say I'm not right for everybody, because I warn them. I said, look, we're going to come in and we're going to talk about foundation.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of that.
We have.
We're going to talk a lot about your foundation, because guess what? That's where the big wins are usually found.
Yeah.
I had one client we took from $3 million to $40 million in 3.5 years. And I'm telling you, the first big leap was $3 million to $11 million in 1 year. And that solely came from tweaks we made to the foundational stuff that they just forgot to do over the years.
Or just didn't know to do in the beginning. Not just forgot, but didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's a great, let's talk about this foundational stuff. Let's talk about what are these elements for our listeners that are like, what does that even mean? I don't even know.
Well, let's start. And there's 13 of them. I want to talk about 7 of them today. Okay.
Perfect.
Just because of time. And I have to preface this. I did a 2.5 hour workshop this morning just on the first one.
Wow.
And so I'll just do this in a few minutes. But the first one that I always talk to people about, the Carnegie Foundation created some of this research. And they went out to study what are the key factors of success in successful people. Forget about the fancy stuff. But what are the similarities that they all share? And it was kind of amazing what they did. The Carnegie Foundation, and I'd ask any of your listeners to set and just make a list. Okay, one word statements. What are the words that you relate to success?
Mm.
Is it decisiveness? Is it
money,
clear thinking,
right?
Is it ethics? Is it time management? What are the one word things? And they got 60 items. My group this morning, we did a shortened version, and we got 47.
Okay,
I work with a group recently, and we had 82. We just blew it off. But I'll just sit and keep pushing, keep thinking. And the funny thing is, and this gives you some impact on how people just don't think about success, is that almost every time I've done this, and I've done it thousands of times, every time I've done this exercise, people get hung up at about 12 words.
I could totally see that. Yeah.
Never thought about that. Think about that. That's kind of a conundrum. If you have a business and you want to be successful, if you can't give me more than 12 words that relates to success.
Yeah. Just goes to show our kind of tunnel vision that we get into.
Yeah. So what we do is we take this list, take your list, get as many as you can, and then what the Carnegie Foundation found is that there are 3 primary factors that go into success. It is attitude, skills, and knowledge.
Okay.
And so what we then do is go take this list, and I want you to assign an attitude, skill, or knowledge beside each of those words.
Oh.
So when you do that, on general, and this fast forward, this is a 4-minute version of a 3-hour, 2-hour seminar.
Right.
What we found was skills and knowledge took up 15% of all that. Attitude was 85%.
Wow. That doesn't surprise me, but wow.
85%. Right? And when I talk about attitude, I'm telling you, I've had people hire me just because they had no idea what I did, but they said, my goal is when I walk in a room, I want people to go, I don't know what he does, but I want some of it.
Yes.
You know, it's how you walk. It's how you talk.
Yes.
It's how you smile. It's how you carry yourself. You know, again, it's back to the doctor. You feel pretty confident about this doc? Well, maybe.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hire that guy.
No.
Hell no.
But how's that similar
to hiring
a coach or doing a startup and actually getting people to believe in you?
Yeah.
You ever watch Shark Tank?
Hell yeah. It's my favorite.
Well, a lot of people on Shark Tank will get their funding just because they've got an attitude
about
it. It's
true. Yeah. I'm buying you. You hear the shark say that all the time. I'm investing in you. I like you.
I believe in your passion.
Yes.
I believe in what you're doing. You know, I, side note, I've got thrown out of a couple of major college business schools because nice. They'd have me in to speak because I've done all these startups and everything. And one of the first things I have is I'll challenge the graduates. I'll say, look, do you even know how to spell entrepreneur? And they'll go, well, absolutely. E-N-T-R-E. Okay, stop. My point is How do you define entrepreneur? They go, well, you know, I'll get out of college and get a six-figure income and, you know, and get raise money and go. And I go,
yeah, and sit on the beach all day.
I bet you're delivering coffee to somebody in your first year. I said, good on you for getting your degree and going through all this. But you don't know anything until you hit the streets.
Yeah.
And they don't like that. You know, what they don't tell you in business school about being an entrepreneur is that you have to create your own retirement fund.
Yep.
That you have to pay your own insurance.
Yes.
That you have to make a decision between paying your staff and paying yourself sometimes. There's been some months where you don't get a paycheck.
Right.
Now, do you still want to be an entrepreneur? You know, so it comes down to attitude is 85% of your success rate.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that, but that's crazy. 85%.
Yeah, can I share a quick story
on
that?
Of course.
I had a client once, and in my first book, I tell this story, and I get a little excited, so
yeah.
Pardon me, everyone.
That's why we like you, Danny Creed.
But I had this guy, and you know, goals are so important.
Yes.
And I do a whole special process in goals that's really, really neat. But here's the raw facts. 70% of our society has no goals. 70%. 28% says they have goals, but they're not written. 2% have written goals. A Harvard study suggests that 95-98% of all wealth in America is held by that 2% with written goals.
Mm.
I've heard people like Brian Tracy say, yeah, in 100% of the 98%, works for the 2%.
Right, right.
You know, so.
What if I have them in my head? I got my goals
work.
In my head.
It doesn't count.
Why not?
It doesn't count. It's not written. You can't visualize it.
Mm.
It's not clear. It's got gray edges, fuzzy areas.
Yes.
You can't visualize it unless it's on paper. And the great thinkers of the world, I mean, there was a Fortune 500 research piece that was done with 50 of the top CEOs. They asked them, they said, do you plan your day? 49 of them said, we plan our day the night before on paper.
Yep.
So you tell me, argue with me all you want, but go talk to those guys.
Right.
What's their income, men and women?
Yeah.
You know, it's a fact that you've got to be able to see it. You've got to visualize it. You've got to commit to it. If you've just got it in your head, you're not committed to it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it's not about luck. So there's all these people out there that talk about, you know, the richest people in the world is because they're lucky. Hell no. They're working their asses off.
If you look at my vehicle,
yep.
And my wife's vehicle, my car tag says Mr. Lucky.
Mr. Lucky.
And my wife said Ms. Lucky. And I always got that. Anybody, and I'll tell you, and a lot of your listeners can probably relate to this, anybody who has ever been successful at anything they've done has had somebody come up and go, you're not that good.
You're just lucky.
You're just lucky. You're kissing the boss's butt. You know, so you had that given to you, didn't you?
Yeah.
I would gripe and moan and groan. And one day my wife just said, she came in and said, look, I'm tired of hearing you moan and groan about this. She says, I'm going to give you a gift. And she gave me this desk plaque and it said, Mr. Lucky. So she said, next time somebody gives you that, don't get upset. Go, yeah, you're right. I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. There was no talent involved. There was, you know, but when I started doing that, then people started coming in going, oh man, I faced the same thing. Didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, how many people have been shut down in their life because somebody else came and gave them crap?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, well, maybe they're right. Anyway, let me get back to the guy that I was talking about. You know, this guy, I talk about in my book and I asked him, I says, you know, do you have goals? He goes, yeah, I have goals. I said, are they written? He goes, no, but I know what they are. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, I'm very passionate about my goals. I said, tell me about it. And he goes, I get up in the morning and I'm thinking about my goal. And I go take a shower and I'm thinking about my goal. And I go down and eat. And I get in my car and I dress. I get in my car and I'm thinking about my goals. And I go to work and I'm thinking about my goals. And I go in my office and I go in there and I'm thinking about my goals. I said, what are your goals you're so excited about? He goes, every day my goal is to go to work and break even.
Oh, no. Really?
That's what I said. And he goes, yeah. So let me ask you, when we come down to the basics, is that survival thinking or is that thriving thinking?
Definitely not thriving thinking.
But when you talk about that, and I bring it to what usually happens, people will laugh at that story and they'll go, ha, 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 because most of us have a level of survival thinking. You just want to get through the day. Business owners, if you're running a business going, boy, I just hope I can make payroll. You know, look, you can have thriving thinking and you don't have to be thriving at the point.
Right.
But as in any goal, you have to be able to visualize it. You have to be live it. You have to write it and say it as if you've already accomplished
it.
So if you're going, well, I just want to break even today. He was very passionate about breaking even.
Oof.
But breaking even doesn't work.
No.
You know, it's a change of thinking. Brian Tracy talks a lot about if you can just work on improving yourself, growing yourself 0.1% a day.
Yep.
A day. Now, what is that? Is that reading an extra paragraph in a book, extra chapter? Is that walking an extra block? What does that represent? Because if you figure it out, it's about 37% a year, and compounded, it's about 1,000% over 5 years. I mean,
wow.
You know, that's pretty powerful growth just by 0.1%. Other surveys, I believe it was Harvard or somebody, said that 1% a month.
Okay.
But you've got to sit down and think about, what's that 1%? And that's all about attitude. You know, that's all about, mm-hmm. I'm going to improve myself 1%. But what is it?
You know? Yeah, and then taking action on that, right?
Taking action. Obviously. Yeah, I had an old mentor, some people have heard this, used to say, the world is full of educated derelicts, that that knowledge is not power. The application of knowledge is power.
Right.
So you've got to take action.
You absolutely have to
take action. And that's the other reason you have to write it down, because you write that's an actionable item then.
Yeah.
And if you're just swimming around, you're going to go, I just want to, you know, I broke even today.
Oh,
it just doesn't work.
Brutal.
So attitude is the first one.
The first
that we'll
one.
Talk
okay.
about. The
Great.
Second one is what we call decisiveness.
Hmm.
And here's the deal on decisiveness. You've got to decide to be successful. You've got to make a conscious decision to be successful. Here's the deal, though. If you're happy with now, if you're happy with mediocrity, if you're happy with where you're at, you know, but you're bitching and moaning and griping to everybody, well, you know, I wish it was better. The economy stinks. You know, the tax plan isn't going to work and blah, 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 blah. You know what? The greatest book ever written on business and personal development is Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, 1928.
Yep.
They said, I've asked people at conferences, I said, what do you think that book's about? They go, well, I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I go, stop. Think and grow rich.
Yeah, it's in the title.
It's in the title. The key to it is what you think about most of the time you become.
Yep.
So you have to decide to be, you know, what I like to say is, look, if you're happy with where you're at, if you're happy living the way you are, if you're living the way you are, but you aren't willing to change, acknowledge that you're not willing to change, and then shut up. Shut up. I'm tired of listening to whiners.
Yes.
I'm tired of listening. You blame somebody else. You know, this will be controversial. So
that's okay.
Don't like blame me. You know, if there's people out front, you know, but I just don't get the concept. One of the concepts out of the series of The Secret.
Right.
Because part of what it says is be clear what you want and then set and wait for it.
Well, I was actually just going to ask that, like, be decisive. You know, it doesn't it go a little bit further than just saying, I want to be successful? Because then again, same thing that we talked about with attitude is it's actually taking action then to follow up.
Well,
so is
decisive
that kind of this underlying?
Is two levels. That you're exactly right. Decisive is saying, I am going to take all actions necessary to be successful.
Got it. Okay? So it's not just saying, I want to be successful and sitting there eating bonbons.
It's like, and then stop and hope for it.
Okay? Right.
That you've got to say, I'm going to take certain actions to be successful. And then the next part is understanding what good looks like to you.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I always ask is, how do you define success?
Hmm.
Because what happens with most coaches, advisors, they come in and go, let me tell you all the ways to be successful. Everybody's definition is different. My family's from the farm in Kansas, and their definition of wealth is much different than mine.
Yes.
You know, their definition of success is much different than mine. Everybody's definition is different. I've got two sons, and one's definition of success is about a million miles different than the other one.
Right.
You know, so how can I come in and tell you anything when I don't know what your needs are?
Yeah.
I had a, you know, if I can share a story, I had a guy, a CEO that I was working with, and he had interviewed like 20 coaches. And I was the first one, only one, to say, how do you define success? I'm not right for everybody. How do you define it? And he looked at me and he smiled. I said, why are you smiling? He goes, because everybody that's came in before you said, let me tell you all the reasons you ought to hire me. And you said, you know, I'm not right for everybody. Tell me what your, how you define it.
Right.
And he goes, I'll tell you my definition of success. He goes, I'm profitable. I make lots of money. I'm doing really well. He goes, but you know what? I haven't taken a vacation with my family in 7 years.
Right.
And there's something going on that I don't think I can leave my business. He said, Dan, if you can help me figure that out and help me take a feel good about taking a vacation, I'll pay you anything you want.
Nice.
But that was his definition of success.
Yeah. And I would guess that a lot of us don't know. Like,
most
if you ask
people
that question,
don't.
People
most
get a little
people
stumped.
Don't. And so I can help them, by the way. I can help them find that,
right,
that definition. Or I can base how we approach our conversations then based on that definition.
Right.
Because my approach with him was similar, but we sat down and we really explored from the beginning, you know, why don't you trust your staff? You know, what's going on here? That, because he's making money, he's profitable, he's got the dream, except he has
he won't
no vacation.
Go, yeah.
He won't go on vacation. He's got kids at home that he's never taken on vacation. So we explored those reasons, and, you know, and the end of the story was within 120 days, he actually took a vacation.
Nice.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
But it's, you have to be very decisive that this is what I'm going to do and take action.
Yep.
You've got to be decisive. And again, if all you do is gripe and moan, that's not going to get you anywhere. But shut up, because most of us, I don't know about you guys, but most of us don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Heck no.
Yeah. So
heck no.
That's decisive. That's number two.
Love it. Okay. What's number three?
Number three, and again, this is foundational, but number three is hard work. We've done a lot of research in this, and I wrote down the quote. I love it. It says 85% of success happens with 60 hours a week or more.
Ooh.
That you work 40 hours a week just to survive. Anything over that is about success.
Yeah, that's a great quote.
Now, again, everybody goes, well, you know, you become a workaholic. Remember what I said about work-life balance?
Yep.
Look, I've been accused of being a workaholic, but you know what? I'll jump in your face. Because every hour that I spent that sounds like workaholic, I loved. I enjoy spending with clients. I enjoy doing the extra work with them and for them. I loved every minute of it. But I have a life.
Right. And I think that's the difference, too, when you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, is that you are passionate about what you do. And there is no separation. It is all blended together. And, you know, I've heard people say, I just don't want to work that hard. And I'm like, then you got to go work for somebody else, because it is not easier to maybe someday down the road, maybe you can build a business that's easier. But all of these promises of, you know, sit on the beach and work 10 hours a day, you know, there's people out there that do some of that. But they, number one, I believe they work their asses off to get there. And number two, it's probably not going to last forever.
Well, that isn't even a guess. They have worked their butts off to get there. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, I agree.
If you want to work a 4-hour work week, you're not, you know, it's like some companies that people will recruit you into that said, you know, you can work part-time and make $100,000 a year. Well, that's just baloney.
Right.
I'll be kind. I would say baloney. It just doesn't happen. That you've got to commit to the time and effort, which is the other thing that comes back to why do those so many businesses fail? People aren't willing to put the time in.
Yeah.
Or they're not willing to learn and make decisions to get clarity on everything they're doing. But you just have to dedicate yourself to it. And that's why that work-life balance thing is so important. That, again, you figure out how to mesh it so you do plan on time. You know, we'll talk about it more in the next one. But the fourth one then, if just because I'm looking at the clock,
yeah,
the fourth one is self-discipline.
Rolling. Okay, what do you mean by that?
And, well, I always quote Zig Ziglar on this. He said, if you're hard on yourself, life will be easy on you.
Mm.
So in today's world, I'll give you a couple of examples of a real big deal. And again, I do a whole piece on this. But the thing, once cell phones and iPads and those kind of things have done, it's now called, it's now said that we're in an addictive state in the world.
Yeah, we are.
And it's considered, it's called interruption addiction. That, have you ever been sitting around a table and the cell phone buzzes and people,
yeah,
you see that ad on TV where their phone buzzes and they drop a couch and it goes out on the window. And, I mean, but people jump. And so what we've become is addicted. Now, let me give you a couple of statistics. Just came out a couple of weeks ago that one out of 10 people will check their cell phone every 4 minutes. That the average adult will check their phone in a day 143 times.
Yeah, I think every 4 minutes, I feel like I do it way more frequently than that.
It can be, yeah. You know, and the average millennial will check it 18 times an hour.
Wow.
Now, here's the research. First of all, we're addicted to it because they found when the interruption happens, when it buzzes or beeps or vibrates, that the brain actually shoots a shot of dopamine in your brain. So you get a buzz and you want to recreate the buzz over and over again inadvertently. But here's the key. They found that after an interruption, the human brain takes 17 minutes to get back on task.
It's crazy.
So if you just check it 10 times an hour, you're never back in focus.
Never.
Ever.
And people wonder why they have time management issues.
I have a friend who, for Thanksgiving, he got 20 cigar boxes and covered them in paper. And when people came in the house, he goes, put your phone in the cigar box and write your name on the top.
Nice.
Then he took all the phones and set them in the corner and said, we're going to have an old-fashioned Thanksgiving. We're going to talk.
That's great. I love that idea.
But I also presented this concept at a large gathering of financial advisors recently.
Yeah.
And they said that many of in their office that they won't allow you to go in the conference room with your phones.
Oh, good for them.
That you have.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not, it's terrible we're not on film here, but if you can envision looking at your phone and scaling through Facebook or emails or whatever, and you look at somebody and go, you know, Lisa, I really care about what you think. And just tell me everything, your deepest, darkest secrets. I'm listening. No, really, yeah, I'm listening.
You can't see him, but he's pretending like he's scrolling through his phone.
Yeah, yeah. I'm listening. Go ahead. I really care about you. It's just so the self-discipline comes down to, and again, I'll give you this definition. It's a great definition of self-discipline or the grind.
Right.
Is understanding what you need to do and when you need to do it, and then doing it whether you want to or not.
I think that's the key there too, right? Whether you want to or not. Because I think there is this misconception out in the world with entrepreneurs that you get to pick and choose what you do, and you do the things only that you love.
Yes.
And I think there's a point in your businesses, right? There is a point that we can get to where we can start delegating and outsourcing the things we don't love to do, certainly. But, you know, that comes later, you know, when you've got a successful business, and there's always going to be shit that we don't want to do. Always.
So, you know, I mean, again, when it comes to self-discipline, though, so what I'm saying in short is that understand what it is you need to do to get where you want to go, whether you want to do it or not, and then just accept it. It's like accepting life. You go, okay, I don't like to do this. I had a professional athlete tell me one time, he makes, I don't know, close to $20 million a year and on and on. And I said, so what's your grind? What do you do? He goes, well, nobody see, all they see is me making $20 million and on the cover of magazines and everything else. He goes, but nobody sees me at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday in the off season lifting weights.
Yeah.
He says, but I have to do that to have this.
Yeah.
And he looks around the stadium, you know, so I'm telling you, understand what it is you need to do. And then if that's what it takes to get where you need to go, figure out a way to get it done, quit your bitching, and just do it because you have to. And that's discipline. And one of my disciplines is time management. I do my daily planner for the next day every night before I go to bed.
Yeah.
I have for almost 40 years.
Yeah,
I learned this discipline a long time ago. But I will not go to bed. If you come over to visit and we have some wine or something and you leave, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I will still go upstairs. I will not go to bed without doing that.
Wow.
But that's my discipline.
That's some good discipline right there.
That's part of my discipline.
Yeah.
So self-discipline is number five.
Okay.
Number six is setting priorities. And I can talk forever on this, but setting priorities is means this to me. And again, you're going to have protesters probably when I say
this. That's okay. We welcome
anybody it. If anybody tries to sell you time management courses, run. Leave. You know why? Because in today's world, it's not about doing everything.
Yeah.
It's about prioritization.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's about prioritizing the most important things, the highest consequence things, and then managing the time around getting that done.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, if you brag about being a multitasker, that's been proven it doesn't work. In fact, we call it, my business, I call it task shifting versus multitasking, because it doesn't work.
Right.
You know what? The number one, and I cover this in my priority management course. You know what the number, I had a guy just tell me this morning, and he backed it up. The number one trait that headhunters are looking for in executives today.
What's that?
The ability to complete a single task.
That's kind of scary, right?
Well, it is.
That tells you the state of the world.
But think about what we just talked about.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the ability to complete a single task, because everybody does task shifting. As I do a little of this, I'll do a little of that, I'll do a little of this. Have you ever ended the day and went, wow, I'm worn out, but I didn't get anything done?
Yes.
But I didn't get anything done. So, golly. So setting priorities is a real key. Priorities is focusing on what the most important thing is.
And how do you define most important? Because I've had people ask this question, how do I even know what my priorities are? To me, that's a little bit of a scary question that they don't know. I think that means they've got to go back to some of the other things that we've talked about. But what do you say to that?
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. Right. There's a five-step process that I teach about how to prioritize tasks. But I'll give you an idea. And it's covered in part in one of Brian Tracy's great books on the subject. And it's called Eat That Frog. And it's very similar. But you have a prioritization. You take every task and you put an A through E on it. And A is things you must do, that it has the highest consequence ever. It could be a business issue. It could be a personal issue.
Okay.
But an A, so you go through this list, and I'll just give you the short end of it, is that if you do this and do it correctly, and I beat you up, I kick your butt to make sure you do it right.
Right.
But we go through giant lists. I've had people come in with 200-300 things that they think they have to do. And when we apply this technique, on the average, 65% to 80% of the list disappears. Dark specter of fear and doubt just leave their body. It's like an exorcism, you know? And people go, you mean I don't have to do all of that stuff?
Oh, wow.
And they come down to from 300 to 12 things.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? That all this other stuff you're worried about doesn't mean it's not important. Mm-hmm. That you can get to it whenever you can. But if you just focus on the most important things, let's leave it at that. If you just focus on, just look at it. Don't tell me you don't know how to prioritize. Look at what's the most important thing.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, what has the most consequence?
Yep. Beautiful.
That's pretty easy.
Yes.
If you don't do it, what has the highest consequence? Example, your rent is due today. Your mortgage is due today. Do you pay it tomorrow or do you pay it today?
Depends on what the late fee is.
Okay. Do you pay it on Friday or do you pay it today? You know, you're making a lot of money if you're thinking that way.
Yeah, right.
So that's number six.
Okay.
Number seven is, we've already talked about it a little bit, but it's called single-mindedness. And single-mindedness is this. It takes a minimum of 5 times longer to finish a job if you start and stop and start and stop. So you have to focus on single-mindedness. And Warren Buffett said it best. He says, I say no to almost everything. You have to learn to say no, whether you're in an office space or you're running your own business or whatever. I call them time vampires.
Yeah.
People are coming and go, hey, Lisa, it looks like you're busy, but hey, did you see the ball game last night? hey, how do you like this weather? You know, I'm going to go bowling this weekend.
By the way, the ball game was good last night because the Cowboys won.
We'll move on. You know, but you know what? But they come by and you're busy and you go, okay. I mean, personally for me, people would ask me to lunch. And I'd go to lunch. Yeah, okay, I'll go to lunch with you. And we get there and all they do is bitch and moan about the boss or friends or something like this. So I got to a point where, you know, you just can't worry about what they think.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd say, well, I'd love to go to lunch with you, but what do you want to talk about?
Nice.
And they go, well, you know, and I would say, look, here's the keywords, everyone. Have you talked to anybody that can make a difference about that?
Oh, that's a good one.
And they'd go, well, no. And I says, well, I certainly can't make a difference. So why don't you go talk to somebody and make a difference? And then we'll go to lunch and we'll talk about what they said. You know, but
nice.
I can't help you if that's what you want to talk about. Thank you. Because I'd go to there and I'd come back from lunch and I was going, oh, God, the world stinks. And
it brings you down.
And, you know, I'll tell you the number one, on a whole nother note, the number one thing you can do to improve your business in your life sometimes is get rid of some friends.
Yeah. Get rid of those negative Nellies.
Because we found that some of the people that deter you from achieving your goals many times the people closest to
you.
It's
true.
Because they either don't get it or they don't want you to be as successful because it makes them look bad.
Or they enable you and they, you know.
If you ever went through a 12-step program or studied alcoholism or drug abuse, one of the 12 steps is you may have to get rid of some friends.
Yep.
If you're an alcoholic, you can't go to work at a liquor store.
Right.
You know, it's the law of attraction working opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, the economy sucks. The world sucks. The tax sucks. Our president. Oh, yeah. And you look for people to go, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I need to be around. And what I try to do as a coach is go, you know, I understand your opinion. Other people have had that opinion, but I have a way to get around it.
Right.
I'm not going to be sucked into that vortex.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's that 1% change. Just getting somebody around you to go, sounds a little crazy, but I'm with you.
Right. Right.
I believe in you, Lisa.
Yes.
We can do this.
Yes.
Us, you know.
Yeah.
We've talked.
And we have talked about that. And I tell you what, it feels good because I am I'm a single girl and I am a solopreneur, right? I'm a sole proprietor, basically. And it feels good to know that you've got somebody in your court that is like, got your back and not a yes man, but somebody that's going to support you and kick my ass when I need it. And I like that. I love that.
I've worked with clients that my main purpose was to have somebody positive to talk to about business.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go, the tech.
Yeah.
I've been hired because people say I'm the most positive thing they'll hear all week.
Positive, but not a yes man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But think about that. You could do that. Everybody can do that. But, you know, why is everybody, you know, it's like groupthink.
Yep.
You know, it's illogical, but everybody else starts thinking it. You know, sometimes it's sad state of affairs that I can be the only positive influence in people's lives sometimes. But you know what I mean?
Yes. So, no, I love it.
Anyway, for time, the final thing I want to talk about today is, and it's important to me, is the term risk taking.
Okay.
If you're going to be an entrepreneur or successful in business, you've got to learn to take calculated risks. You know,
I'm glad you say calculated because some people think like, oh, I don't want to jump in there. Yeah, no, that's not what it
means. Fly into it.
Right.
No, one of my favorite books, and again, I've mentioned him a lot, but he's been a big influence in my life. Brian Tracy wrote a book called Flight Plan.
Yep.
And Flight Plan, what it's about is that if you want to go to New York City from Phoenix, where we're at today, it's 2 hours time, it's a 4-hour flight. So you leave here at noon, you're there at 6. In order to do that, you file a flight plan.
Right.
And then you take off. Now, most people don't realize this, but it'll run, the gamut is pretty large there. But a lot of people, I have a friend that's a pilot that said I was pretty close that 85% of that flight, the flight's going to be off course.
Right.
So the pilot needs to be there to make the adjustments so they can land. Well, think about that as life. How many people do you know that go, and in business, that go,
I want to think about that. I need to do some more research. I need to plan a little more. And they never launch.
Right. I think I had that problem in the beginning. I mean, I thought I launched, but I was over planning for sure.
You know, and just a quick story, if we have time, Babson College and some other organizations have done some great research, and they did a research piece on finding what are the similarities that entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs share outside of the foundational stuff.
Yep.
They looked at age and income and gender and education and family background and on and on and on and on. And long story short, they came to the decision when they finally finished the research piece that there was only one thing that they all shared. Only one.
Wow.
And that one thing was a willingness to, at some point, step out in faith. Mm-hmm. Now, all that means is at some point, everybody go in, enough research. I'm going to grab my rear end and take a deep breath and step out into space and see what happens.
Mm.
And that's the difference many times between whether you're heating and air conditioning or running a business like yours or running a bank. At some point, you got to go, you know, and in today's world, we're talking about cell phones and technology and everything. You don't have time. The biggest competitor most people have is time.
Yeah.
Because in today's world, I mean, you can sit in your pajamas at midnight and buy stuff.
Right.
You can on your phone. You can also do research. I was with a guy recently that was kicked out of a first call meeting because he came in and we sat down in front of the prospect, and I was just observing. We sat down in front of the prospect, and the prospect goes, "So tell me about what's going on." And the guy goes, "Well, yeah, I'd be glad to do that, but I need to ask you a question first." The guy goes, "Okay, what's your question?" He goes, "You know, before we get started, can you tell me a little about your business?" The guy goes, "You can leave."
Yeah.
He goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You should have researched that last night."
Yep.
You have Absolutely. Google. You have all that. You should have looked me up on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I don't have time to tell you stuff you should have already done.
Right.
Goodbye.
I would have done the exact same thing. That would be annoying.
So we get back to the risk-taking thing. There comes a point where you can do all the research you need online with talking to people and everything else. There comes a point where you have to just step out and take a chance.
Because don't you learn more that way?
Well,
anyway,
it's the only way, go back to flight plan. It's the only way you can start making adjustments.
Right, right.
You can write the perfect business plan. I work with a lot of investors and such,
yep.
Angel investors. And I'm telling you, they'll throw away a business plan that somebody spent $10,000 on. They'll just throw it away sometimes because, you know, did you ask the right questions? You yep. spent all your money on this, but have you launched it yet?
Right.
The questions they're asking now is, how many hours have you put into it? How much of your own money is into it? And how much have you sold?
Yep.
It's not, you can't go in and go, "Hey, I've got a great idea. I need $1 million. See you later.
You're out."
There's more money than ever before out there, but they want to know, have you taken a chance?
Right.
Have you taken some risk?
Yeah.
Have you found out what doesn't work?
Yep. And it goes back to kind of that Shark Tank moment too, that you were talking about, and
Absolutely.
How they're looking for the person and that passion and all of that.
And it's the fire in the eyes. You know, it's like one of the Rocky movies where Apollo takes Rocky to Los Angeles. You know, Rocky's living in opulence and he walks into this crappy old gym and it smells, and, you know, and everybody's sitting there going, "Oh, you know, Rocky, why are we here?" You know, and Apollo goes, "Look at their eyes. What do you see, Rock?" "I don't know." You know, and he says, "The eye of the tiger." He says, "Look in their eyes. They all have the eye of the tiger." And there's cue music.
Yeah.
But the point, I look for that too.
Yeah.
I look for that in business people. You know, no matter how bad things are, do they have this fire in their gut and they're saying, "Man, I'm going to figure this out."
Yeah,
that's who I want to work with.
Hell yeah,
you want to work
too.
With, you
know, absolutely.
That's who we want to work with. That's who customers want to work with.
And that's
with.
Who I want to be. You know,
and that's and so what does that come back to? I come back to attitude, decisiveness, hard work, self discipline, set priorities, high priorities, single minus, and risk taking. That all comes back to that.
That all comes back together. This has been so amazing. Holy cow, a lot of information, and that hour went by really fast. Danny Creed.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, how can they get a hold of you? How can people find you and learn more about you? And
I'm kind of hard to catch on the phone, but if you want to call me, you can. My cell phone is 602-697-5949 anywhere in the world.
I love it. The old fashioned way.
People. Yep. And please check out my website at www.realworldbusinesscoach.com. I'm very proud of my site. And or you can check, find me on LinkedIn. I've got a really nice presence on LinkedIn. Yeah, thank you for asking.
Absolutely. I would suggest all the listeners out there connecting with Danny, because he is such an amazing coach and he's got obviously a lot of brilliance to share. This is just a little teeny tiny
thank you
sampling of what he knows, and he loves to share his expertise. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And being my guest today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And on behalf of Winning Business Radio, where we connect you with business owners who are winning at business, I am Lisa Rehurick, the number one leading authority on winning RFP responses, and I will see you in the new year.